It's 88.5 KCSN. I'm Sky Daniels, and Jamie Scott of Graffiti 6 is here. Wasn't going to start with this question, but we were talking before we actually came on mic, and you've more or less personally relocated to Los Angeles, yes?
Yep.
And the reason being?
Which one should I give out the two?
The sunshine, because that's what everyone always says.
Yeah, the sunshine. I think that I lived in London for my whole life, so it's kind of, it's a novel idea to wake up and not have to worry if it's going to be raining every day.
We asked this question. It was a trick question because yesterday Gary Lightbody was in with Snow Patrol, and he too has relocated here from Ireland, and he had the exact same answer as most artists that do move here. It's one of two typically. Now yours had a third. You added the fact that your label's based here.
Yeah. We were lucky enough to get Capitol Records involved at the beginning of the year, so it was just really to, you know, it was mainly to be, I wanted to move to America to be here to be able to promote the album as much as I can, you know, and rather get on a flight every time I need to do that. And then it was down to where I lived, and Capitol were based in LA, so that was the decision.
It's a good call. You know what the third reason is most musicians move here?
The beaches?
It's a girlfriend. It's always a girlfriend.
Oh, okay.
Always a girlfriend. And then 5 years later, I interview them and they're divorced and they've lost everything. So
I'm moving home.
Reason number three is not a great reason, so don't use that one. there was a interview you'd done earlier that I read online, which you seemed to think it was an apt description. I want to see if that still holds true for the... if one was to try to put a handle on Graffiti 6 music, I read Psychedelic Northern Soul Folk.
It's basically someone just listed all the things that we put into it. I mean, no, it was funny because Northern Soul was where was the rhythm, the section that we, I don't know, we blended through the whole album. And that was really a massive, it was not as an influence, but it was a real current theme that we put through every track. That basically gave it, rather than giving away the secret what we did in the album, but it was kind of... that was really a big thing. So when I read Psychedelic Northern Soul Folk, I really latched onto that because as a solo artist, I write and play folk music. So they'd got that bit. And then the psychedelic bit was just kind of, I suppose that sums up the album's called Colors. So, I mean, it was kind of, it was the first thing I'd seen. I was like, okay. Down the road in chains, neighbors all turned their heads.
Goodbye, Jeffrey Drake, a name they never will forget. As poison rushes through your veins and stills your final breath. All I wanted was a little love. All I needed was a little care. All I wanted was a little love and tenderness, yeah. We'll die in silence. There's nothing or no one to blame. Soon we learn to fight without trying. I wish my mother would stay. Cause all I wanted was a little love. All I needed was a little care. All I wanted was a little love and tenderness, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, Lord, all I wanted was a little love. All I needed was a little care. All I wanted was a little love and tenderness, yeah, yeah.
I read that the first time you really had that epiphany that we all have when you hear a record, that in your case it was Blue by Joni Mitchell.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you can have an epiphany when you're seven, but I had the closest thing that I did to that, which was my mum bought me a guitar, and when I asked her when I got older when I first started playing, she said it was when I was seven because she bought me a guitar because I wanted to play Blue by Joni Mitchell. And I remember hearing the record. I just don't remember, you know, on that day thinking, right, that's it. Then I'm a musician, you know.
Well, that's a pretty heavy album for a seven-year-old to be totally related to.
But it was just something about, yeah, I don't know, man. Maybe, I don't know. It was something about, I don't know. I don't know what it was that that aged, but it was the honesty. I don't know. Something was just rung a bell. And it was just so simple. And I wanted to, you know, copy that.
Could have been Spice Girls.
Could have been Spice Girls.
Could have been Spice Girls. You went with Blue.
My guitar playing would have been slightly different.
Yeah, it would be a little different. You also, you know, you mentioned your mom. Apparently, your family were music fans because it seems that a number of the artists that you have cited as people that you've paid attention to, if not have influenced you, are either great singer-songwriters, legacy singer-songwriters, or really great, what we'll call soul statesmen.
Yeah, that was really down to my dad in terms of the soul music I had in the house, because I went to a really strict school when I was younger, until I was about 13, and yeah, there was no music at the school. So when I came home, I only ever listened to one radio station, which played old 60s music. So the only records that I ever really heard was on the radio on the way back from school, or what my parents were listening to, and or they had in their LP collection. And my mum, yeah, was just into, you know, Joni Mitchell, Carole King and Neil Young, kind of a lot of the Laurel Canyon movement, you know.
Right.
And my dad was a real big soul fan, so had every record you can think of by great singers, you know. Curtis Mayfield, Marvin Gaye, Stevie Wonder, Donny Hathaway, you know, like just that whole era. And that's what I heard until I was about 13, and I heard Bon Jovi was the first modern record I heard when I went on a road trip with someone at school, a school road trip, and they put that on, and I don't know, if it's possible thinking you're doing drugs when you're 13 but not doing them, that's what it was, because I'd never heard anything like that in my life, and it was just like, whoa. Baby, it's me that's done wrong.
The collaboration between Tommy D and you seems to it's an intelligent yet modernized I guess would we call it a blend of you know the singer songwriter and soul music and it also then gets into the quote earlier psychedelic part because there are a lot of production flourishes. And soundscapes that lend it some real originality.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because we made the record about a year and a half ago now. So I can't exactly remember what we did to the T, you know, but I do remember that it was a procedure that I've never done before because I wasn't signed to a label when I was making the record with Tommy. I was when I started, but things happened and we carried on making the record ourselves. So we had no outside influence for the first time since I was recording a record, telling you what to do. And therefore, we kind of, I'd been a bit, you know, annoyed with the whole structure of the way I was doing things before, how you know, how you'd write a record for this radio station or wherever. And so it was really the first time that we just sat down and we just had fun. And I, well, personally, I and Tommy was there because by default, because we were working together. And it was just an experience I've never had before, you know, where you haven't got any rules and you don't really think about anything apart from what do you want to do on this track. And there's no boundaries. And the more the project went on, we did Stare Into the Sun as the first song. And then we did Annie You Saved Me, which had a load of harmonies on it. Suddenly this harmony thing came in, and there was just nothing that I couldn't experiment with that Tommy didn't manage to veer into the sound. And we have a lot of, you know, quite a big eclectic range of influences between the two of us. And they managed somehow to just, you know. Goodbye Jeffrey Drake was a track that shouldn't, you know, fit on the album. I don't know what he did, but yeah, he did something that you can listen to it next to some of those other songs. It's like, it's quite weird, but
There is though, and it seems unabashedly, there is a common theme that the two of you share, and you're pretty open about it, that you always want to inject the concept of love in one way or another into the songs.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? The funny thing is that that again is process of elimination, because I write about what I've been through or what I'm going through, and that since I was about 20 has pretty much been the thing that has ruled my life, whether it be a bad or good thing, you know. So that's really just in terms of I don't really like writing about things I don't know about. So I, you know, and I think that for me, when you write a song about something you've been through, you can't really, you know, it's kind of, people can judge it, but I don't feel they can judge you for writing it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because it's happened and it's been done to you. So
it's a personal experience.
Yeah, and that can't be wrong or right. Whether someone likes it or not is a different issue.
There ain't a cloud in the sky or nothing. See the birds, they fly or something. This is the summer, it's the summer full of color dye. Sun is shining down, beloved, but not for me, it shines for others. You gave me love, babe, give me love, babe, I'm sober. I'm feeling blue, cause love is gone, yes I lose. Life goes on, got a few tears to dry before these blue shade days are gone. I can stare into the sun. I'm gonna swim in seas of green, I tell you. I'm gonna run like I'm 17 forever. I see a rainbow, purple and gold, but she's covered. Cause there's a cloud, she follows me around the river. Her last words keep raining down, no matter. You took your love, babe, took your love, babe. Now the color all melt together, right? I'm feeling blue, cause love is gone, yes I lose. Life goes on, got a few tears to dry before these blue shade days are gone. I can stare into the sun. You gave me love, babe, gave me love, babe. You gave me love, and took it away all day. You gave me love, babe, you gave me love, babe. You gave me love, you took it away all. You gave me love, you gave me love, darling. You gave me love, you took it away all. You gave me love, darling, I see, yeah. All right, hey. Life goes on, got a few tears to dry
if you think about great music and great albums, they just sound like they've been written when with no strings and just, you know, strings attached, and just do what you want, you know.
Well, the exuberance certainly comes through, and I would say keep at what you've done, you know, trust your instincts, because the Graffiti 6 project, certainly, it's not easy. You know, we started out with the question, it's not easy to pigeonhole it. I guess, you know, some might say neo-soul, which unto itself, because of, as you put the singer-songwriter aspects, and as we talked about the soundscapes, it goes beyond that. That there's an exuberance, though, that I think is something that you were trying to reach for, which is to just have people feel it, relate to it, and bring them alive, much the way when you were a kid listening to, you know, your parents' music and listening to songs on the radio, they made you feel alive.
No, totally, man.
Well, thank you for coming by. It's Jamie Scott. It's Graffiti 6.
Thanks for having me.
Great to have you here at 88.5 KCSN.
Nice one, dude.